Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast, the podcast that follows the YouTube channel of the same name. We're back again for another week, dragging my wife along through all the fun things you can talk about on Ham Radio. Without further ado, let's get started.
You never seem to run out of anything to say about ham radio.
I can talk and talk and talk about ham radio for so long.
Today, Edison was using my iPad and he changed the cover photo of your ham radio crash course.
It was the Hoshi Facebook page.
Which is you with the badges.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed it to a picture he took of...
Was that him or was that your leg?
That was him.
That was his leg?
Yes. He took the picture and then posted it. And then I told him, you cannot do that. These are the only things you can do on my iPad.
Right.
I was like, why? Why did you do that? And then he goes, because daddy's always shoving ham radio in my face.
Yeah, I was...
That was... And in that picture, you are physically holding a radio.
Yeah. That's true. So that's what he was... Yeah. He was referring directly to that picture.
He was like, I am so done with this.
I was literally sitting in a doctor's office, and I get a notification that I updated the avatar for the page. I'm like, I did not do this. Am I getting hacked?
You got hacked by a 4-year-old.
Well, hello, Leia. Thank you for joining us again. I appreciate it. How are you? You seem to be having a funny day so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's been all right. I also found out while he had been going through my iPad, he had sent kids' messenger invitations to just random people on my friends list.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just going to say random people. Hard stop. I'm like, that's not good.
Somebody who's... who I know through like city involvement, mm-hmm. was like, my kids are grown, Leia. Like, what? Because Kids Messenger is a specific app for like little kids.
Yeah, for, like people under 13 or something.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm so glad he responded because then I went into my messages.
Oh my God.
It's just a slew of messages. I had to like unsend all of them.
Oh my gosh.
And then the people who had already responded, I'm like, I'm so sorry. He got into my messenger.
That's the issues you have when you let a child use your iPad. And your iPad is so interconnected through your social medias that it's like they could do some real havoc.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not good.
So your mom, she texted me because I unsent it before she saw it. But you can see it's unsent and I'm sure she got the notification.
Right, right.
And... She goes, do I need to download the messenger? I'm like, no, it's fine. Edison got a hold of my iPad. And then she goes, so should I download it now?
Now she is deeply offended that you have uninvited her from talking to Edison.
And then one of our friends in Austin who has no kids, like painfully so. They went through fertility treatments and everything. She created one for her dogs just because that request came through,
for
which
baby.
Is so lovely.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. Edison can talk to dogs now.
Yeah, I mean, he stops every dog he sees on the street, goes to the owner, excuse me, can I please pet your dog?
I mean, that's nice that he does that.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, what you would normally expect Edison to do is just go to the dog face first and just like shove his face directly.
But I think it's part of it is that conditioning because we have on like a walk through an area that had just a dog every 5 feet. And so it was like, no, you have to say this if you want to do that.
Here's your cue card.
Yeah.
We have little index cards.
And now it's just ingrained in his head
It works. Yeah. If you just stick to the narrative, it eventually does pay off. So that's good. Well, again, thank you for coming out here. And thank you all for listening to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. We really do appreciate it. We like to kick this off with something I call the Ham Radio Minute.
Yes.
That was your cue to say, it's never
it's
a minute.
Never a minute.
Okay, very good. I didn't give you the script. There's no script for this show. But you pretty much on cue, since we started doing this, like to point out.
Oh, I thought it was just getting a little played out, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You got to spice it up a little bit. I like that about you, the comedic, you know, always broadening your comedic space. Very, very good. Very good.
But the problem is I didn't come up with another thing to say. I just left the dead air. You were waiting.
Yeah.
And then I didn't say it.
You know, stick to what works until you can bring something new to the table instead of just laying it there.
But that's such a helpful tip. It's just such a great tip.
And that's everyone, really. That's just not to you. I mean, anyway, today we're going to talk about using an SDR. We're bringing SDRs back. We mention SDRs a lot because I think they're a really valuable tool. But to use it to configure the output audio on your radio.
You know, when you use acronyms, I would really appreciate just like it not be an acronym at first.
Thank you for reminding me of that. See, that good hints go both directions. An SDR is a software-defined radio. What it is for most people is a small USB-type dongle that has an antenna connection. And you use software to basically receive the RF directly into the computer as audio or data, and it gets converted and displayed on your word that shall not be named so the Amazon Echo doesn't like kick off or whatever it is. Alexa.
We wanted to feel like we were on the Starship Enterprise.
We always, whenever that heads, we go Earl Grey hot. We're going to have a key for that at some point. But, you know, a big thing that people have when they get started, particularly on HF, or they get like a, you know, a pretty nice base station, they start thinking about their output audio. They want to have the best audio quality they can, you know, for whatever money they spent on whatever equipment they have.
Because quite honestly, my experience in trying to listen to ham radio is a lot of, what was that next letter?
Right.
What was that?
But then when you hear somebody who has really good audio, it like pops, right? It's like really a memorable type of thing. So a lot of radios have little controls to adjust treble and bass, and some will even have like an equalizer control and all that fun stuff.
So you could go from like a 5.5 to a 5.9 with an SDR?
No. Well, hear me out. What I'm saying you do is you put the SDR on the same frequency as your radio, and you put the radio on like a dummy load, or you take, you know, you connect it so you won't damage the radio when you're transmitting. But you want the local SDR to pick up your audio coming out of your base station.
Okay.
So it's almost like your SDR is pretending to be the station you're talking to.
Oh.
And then you listen to the SDR and you tweak your radio while listening to yourself on feedback, basically.
Interesting.
And so that way you can tweak, you know,
what
that
a way you to don't, tune yourself.
Right. That way you don't have to take anybody else's word for how you sound. You are literally hearing yourself in your ears. And then you can go and adjust the treble and the bass.
I sound like
I smell. Why is the mic picking up my smell? This is weird.
I sound like garbage.
This ham stinks. So that's just the tip of what you can do there.
Oh my God, it's honey baked ham season.
Oh my
gosh. I didn't even order yet.
Oh no. Oh, it's done. Is it done?
It can't be.
Oh, my God. But you can use both a web SDR, like we've talked about in the past, and just a standard traditional like dongle that you'd get off of Amazon to do pretty much the same thing. Just make sure you dial back the power output of your base station. You don't want to like overload the front end of the SDR and make it so it like won't work in the time you're transmitting. So, yeah, just a little helpful tip to get you the best sounding audio you can, because who knows what mic you're using, or maybe you're using the little stock handy talkie like mic. And those can always use a little bit of help. So there you go. There's the ham radio minute.
Still not a minute.
That's right. So so we got a couple of reviews. I'm sliding right into the next segment.
Wow.
The podcast reviews. As always, thank you so much, everybody who goes out there, gives us the 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you reviewing us everywhere.
Yes.
But especially iTunes, because that's the one we can pull up and we can look
at
really
easily. I can't even tell you like what a competitive person I am, that sometimes I look at our reviews to see how they're doing against other ham radio reviews.
Oh, man. Oh, man. She killed herself.
So thank you for making me happy with new reviews every week.
Indeed. So we got a great show from R Cone E. L. Jr. It says, new to amateur radio, passed my tech in general in last 30 days, studying for extra now, and lots of questions, and your podcast help answers many of them while being very entertaining. Josh, your explanation of things to lay out really helps. Keep up the good work. From R.K. O'Neill Jr. Now it all makes sense how his username is all just all the characters. K-O-4-I-Q-T. So thank you very much, RK.
Like, it's so surprising to me when people are like, oh, yeah, I got my tech and my general at the same time. I'm like, how? What? How are you doing that?
What?
So congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. The best and most entertaining ham radio podcast out there, with an exclamation point, from Covert Gaming.
Wow.
I'm going to be taking my technician exam in a week or so. Your videos and podcast together have taught me so much. I love that you have your wife on as well. I am currently trying to convince my wife to study for and get her license as well.
Good luck, friend.
Good luck. Your videos and podcasts have gotten my wife interested as well.
It did?
Thanks.
Hello, Covert Gaming's wife.
Yeah. Thanks for all that you do and keep up the work. That's from Eric from Colorado Springs. We love Colorado Springs. I do.
Thank you, Eric and wife.
Yeah. Fantastic by NWC Brew. As a new ham, I struggled with a lot of concepts. Listening to Leia and her co-host, Josh, explain the terms and techniques is simple technology, and techniques in simple terminology is what I needed. Also, the sound quality is top-notch. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I drive a truck for a living, and I am grateful for quality-sounding podcasts. Keep up the good work. We spared no expense in our studio.
I am grateful for truck drivers.
Yes.
Did you see the massive amount of hoarding that was going on because people were expecting a truck driver strike? Because everybody knows if truck drivers stop working, it's done.
Yeah, we've already talked about the dark world that would exist without our trucking capability.
Yeah, so thank you.
There would be starvations.
So essential.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I was driving home today, and like on the westbound side of the freeway, it was just a nonstop wall of trucks.
Wow.
That were coming in from the east. It was crazy. So yeah, it was really interesting. Okay, Leia, throwing it to you for the emails.
I'm almost hesitant to read the emails because I definitely put something out there.
You said some things. Things were said.
I'm really going to pay for.
The only one this hurts is you.
It's okay. So Nick Smith writes in, HRCC calendar. I'm so sad right now. It was just supposed to be a big joke, guys.
Uh-huh.
And now we're talking about ham cat or ham boudoir. Any number of ham.
Congrats, ham you calendars. Played yourself.
Oh boy. It says, yes, please, calendar. Carol Baskin patch.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we talked about. Cub Scouts. I typically work alone at customers' job sites, so the length of the podcast is no issue to me. Keep up the great work on your tech. You'll get there. The political conversation was done well, tactfully. I was worried it would be a train wreck that I had to listen to. It definitely wasn't.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess it depends on who you're talking to. Maybe somebody else thought it was a train wreck.
Depends on what train you're on.
Y'all's content is awesome. Keep up the great work. And that is Nick Smith, KJ7, and WK. Thank you so much, Nick, for that email. Okay. So Michael Demeritt, longtime
emailer
of the show. Cub Scout patches. As of this morning, I have listened to the Friday podcast up to the point where Josh is going to start talking about ham radio, which should be the reason I tune in. But really, I listen because you and your co-host rock the waves.
I tune out when you start talking about ham radio.
I have listened to HRCC for months and definitely enjoy the education. Please hug Josh for me. But he is the bomb when it comes to getting people on the bands and participating in ham radio. I have put together a respectable go bag for portable operating thanks to his advice.
Awesome.
Oh, and about the Cub Scout patches. I've raised two boys through Scouts and was a Scout leader for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, kudos to you.
Our Scoutmasters are like so dedicated.
Very dedicated.
It's so impressive to me. So thank you for all you've done for Scouts. And you should know you only need to stitch 3 points on a patch to keep it stuck to the shirt. What? Is that true?
Sure.
Will it lay flat, though? Yeah. Or will it be, like, noticeably three-pointed?
There will be gaps. Yes, there can be gaps.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But okay. As you wash it, it softens a little bit, you know?
But it also makes it easier to remove when they outgrow the shirt.
Mm.
This is a good point. Mm-hmm. Because if I have to seam rip those out and then re-sew them, that's going to be a big problem on two Scout uniforms eventually, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Antenna November is an excellent idea. Please ask Josh what he thinks is the best half wave end fed antenna setup for homebrew. I have wire and tools and a couple of toroids. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Toroids?
Yeah.
Don't want to spend $150 on ready made.
Oh, man.
Oh, and dogfish head rocks.
Yeah. I agree on all accounts.
It does, yeah.
So you can look up any 49-to-1 toroid plans, and that's all you need to know. Basically, you take your bulkhead connector I think that's right. Bulkhead connector is the right term for PL259. You go get yourself like a hobby electronics box, preferably one that you can seal from the elements because it's likely going to be outside. You build yourself a 49-to-1 toroid. And in fact, you could probably look at the video I did for KM4ACK's toroid. The windings of that toroid are identical. Whether you plus up the toroid, increase the gauge of the wire, decrease the gauge of the wire using magnet wire, it's generally going to perform relatively the same. The only difference you may need is you need to maybe increase one wrap or remove a wrap from the final that goes to the antenna. But that's really all you need to know, and you can experiment on building your own 49-to-1. In fact, that is a fantastic antenna to build, particularly when you're getting started. So go for it. The sky's the limit on that one. And then when it comes to actually the radiating element, just consider how much space you have, how much wire you can put up, and then, you know, put up the right length of wire for the band you want to operate on. And there are calculators online. If you search for NFED half-wave calculator, you will get something reasonably close to the length that you need. And then again, you just cut the wire a little long, you put it on an antenna analyzer.
And long and is better than short.
Longer is always better than short. And then you just trim the wire as you go until you get to about where you want. And then you can fold the wire over on itself, use heat shrink tubing, use like a dog bone insulator, or even a PVC pipe coupler. I've used those in the past. Just drill a hole close to one side, actually drill two holes, one on one side and the other on the other side of the opening, and use that as a dog bone insulator. That's it. Super cheap. So you can build most of this stuff from Home Depot parts. The only thing you need is that toroid and that PL259 connector, and you can get started.
Excellent.
People tuned out immediately because I started talking about ham radio way early in the show. Jeez. Way to go, getting people to leave.
So I got this email.
You've got an iPad that you're reading an email on and your phone in your other hand. Is this like a two-parter? What are you doing?
No, I just don't want to forget about the message from Instagram.
Okay. Oh, you got a wow. Yeah. We're crossing platforms.
Yes.
Leia got a new phone, so she's also playing around with her phone.
I have the iPhone 12 Pro Max.
Ooh.
And I got to tell you, it is an improvement. I was using a 8 Plus.
Oh, that's so a big jump.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
Yeah.
But it's always that way. I kind of like run down my phone. But I couldn't not take the discount.
Oh,
they discounted
it
by $700.
For your old iPhone.
That's not even worth like $150 on eBay.
I don't know how they're doing that. I think it was out the door like $400 something bucks For the new iPhone?
A 500. But that's still, that's
cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
I love how we're just like, oh yeah, $500.
I mean, it's not cheap, but in terms
in,
of
in all things considered,
what
the fact
the
that
the price for this phone is.
Yeah. It was a pretty crazy deal, but anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, the lenses, this bug face lens is crazy.
The three lenses are really nice.
Yeah, that it automatically switches.
So pro tip to anybody out there that was thinking about doing like YouTube videos.
Oh, because it shoots in RAW too.
You could just do your entire channel on an iPhone.
Yeah.
You can edit in the iPhone. You can shoot all the video on the iPhone. You have a wide angle lens, the standard normal lens, mm-hmm. and the telephoto lens. I mean, telephoto is kind of a loose term, but the zoom lens is really good.
It is.
Really good.
And really seamless, actually, switching between all of them.
Yeah. So, if you're thinking about making videos and you have an iPhone, I would say even the one I have, which is like the last generation, go nuts.
Good enough.
Go nuts.
Good enough, yeah. So I got this email during your live stream on Saturday, which is the reason that I had like made a joke. About it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody in the chat went nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. So Thomas White also emailed Calendar. Leia, love your show. The calendar is a wonderful idea. I'll take two. Let me know when they're available.
Seriously.
And then in response, everybody was like, yes, I love Catenders, I think. And I was like, what is a catender?
It's calendar.
Yeah.
With cats.
Okay. And then I had to look it up and I was like, oh my God, cat calendar. Yes, cats with a ham radio.
There is so many directions we could go with
it. And then somebody was like, but you have to make it sexy. And I'm like, well, I don't know how you make it sexy with a cat.
Oh, that's not the direction I think they meant.
No, I know they didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you, Thomas, for that. I've got like a real throat thing going on. I don't think it's COVID, though.
Your eye was giving you problems last week, and now you got a throat thing.
Oh, I know. I'm falling apart.
I know.
Tommy Wessel writes in. Question for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Hi, Leia. I just started listening to you and Josh on the podcast recently, and I truly enjoy your banter and learning something new each episode.
Just
Thank
one
you.
Thing. Only one thing new. You can only promise one thing.
Excuse
oh,
me.
Man. Take a drink of wine or
oh,
water.
I'm just going to drink water.
Oh, okay. Man. All right. And so it's Tommy. Thanks, Tommy, for emailing.
Yes. Just gave it a 5-star. Woohoo. Yeah. Thank you for the rating.
Thank you.
And put in a little review. So I'm guessing Tommy is one of the ones
Did
that
I
you
miss
read.
Tommy?
Maybe he didn't use his name.
Well, keep going and I'll look.
Thanks for all your time and effort in making these shows. I know it's a lot of work and it's very much appreciated. It's not a lot of work for me.
It's not a lot of work for you, but you put in work, like, in other areas. Like, Ham Tactical is purely your creation.
Yeah.
HamTactical.com, by the way, for all the ham radio swag you could ever want.
I think somebody referred to it as your clothing line.
My clothing line. Yes, yes. That was it. We won't mention the thing they mentioned because people will say they want that, too. So we'll just
no,
hang
I
on
to
that.
No, I have to bring it up because you know what it will smell like. Somebody said he already has a clothing line. Why doesn't he just get into cologne or something?
No, he said, what would his fragrance smell like?
It's
and it would smell
a burning
like
amp.
It would be the magic smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. somebody burning electronics in here? No, it's my aroma.
I mean, you could just bottle liquid smoke.
Oh, to sadness. When you fry your electronics. Oh, do another trip
a little,
to HRO.
A little salt for the tears. Mm-hmm. Right, the salt.
A little Himalayan pink salt.
Yeah. Nobody wants that. Nobody.
Very good, yes.
Can you pass along a question for a future episode? Here it goes. If a dipole has to be cut to a nearly exact length to work on a given band, mm-hmm. how come HTs can use antennas of different lengths, like a rubber ducky short, a whip medium, or an ABRI/tactical mag mount car antenna longest? Mm-hmm. How is it that all of these different length antennas can work on VHF, UHF? That's a really good question, Tommy, mm-hmm. because yep. I have wondered the same.
Yeah, so it's usually the addition of some kind of coil, some kind of loading coil. Mm. So there's some coil of wire that is adding the extra length. So like a Nagoya 771, for instance, is a 15-inch antenna. So that's pretty close to a quarter wave on 2 meters, for instance. And then everything else they do for like 70 centimeters, if you look at the lower part of the antenna, it's thicker because that's where the other antenna is for the 70 centimeter side. So they're just kind of cheesing it a bit. Some are better at radiating RF than others. The real short stubby ones, you crack one of those things open, it's just a coil of wire.
So. Okay.
Also, there's it harmonics just in play. It all. Literally, it's just a coil of wire, and then it's like this, you know, it's 2 inches tall. And they're like, wow, look how small and portable it is. I can fit this in my pocket. Well, yeah, you can, but it's not a very good antenna for transmitting.
Gotcha.
You're not going to reach out as far as you can with a longer antenna.
That's why there's so much ABRI love.
Yeah, I mean, that antenna, again, when I made that video, I bought those antennas expecting that I was going to be making a joke video on it. Like, I was all thinking of all these little comedic things I can do with the ABRI. Because they're hilarious.
Yeah.
And then they just perform better than all get out. And I'm like, well, shoot.
It's just a big slap bracelet, man.
I know. Now I got to be the straight man on this thing. I got to be the one to introduce this to people. It's like, no, hear me out.
Why is there not a slap bracelet antenna?
And so the ABRI uses two measuring tapes that are sandwiched together, like long.
Okay.
And if you had a slap bracelet, then any gust of wind would just cause it to flop over. Right? It would
good point.
Kind of not be that great as an antenna. You could absolutely make one. That might be fun to do comedically and just have like a little antenna connector on the end. You just snap it on. You're like, yeah, man. I'm a ham radio operator. And also a child of the 80s or the 90s.
This should be a part of your product line / fashion line.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting into accessories.
Yeah.
Functional accessories.
Look at my slap bracelet antenna.
Indeed.
I like it. Okay, this next one. Oh, thank you very much, Tommy, for that. I think a lot of people wonder that, actually, when you...
Yeah, and yeah. I'm sure there's other tricks at play.
Yeah.
But at the end, you can't cheese the physics on antennas. There's got to be some amount of wire in there to make it resonant on the frequency that you're using it on. So they're doing it somehow. They're either doing it with a coil or they're doing it some other way.
Sure.
And you can see that on mobile antennas, actually. Go look at a mobile antenna. You get a long vertical antenna, and then in the middle somewhere, probably on the lower side, there'll be a coil of wire. Well, what is that? Well, it's, you know, so you get the full length of the antenna, but there's a coil in there. So, you know.
But apparently it's just much, much better to be straight.
It's more efficient.
Yeah.
It's more effective. And it also increases the bandwidth of the antenna, the space in which it's resonant.
So this is my last email.
Okay.
It's from Brian Daly. It says, Josh and Leah, first of all, thanks for the great content and everything you do. Your content is fantastic and a huge help in my learning process. Mm-hmm. The awesomeness of your extra logo was just another push for me to go from zero to extra. That is our best logo.
The extra is the one with the quads on it.
Yeah, I feel like the decals
I like the technician.
Yeah,
I think the technician's really good.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody asked me recently, because they did something really nice for me. I sent them some like stickers, and I'm actually going to get them a shirt too. And I was like, you know, what do you want? And they're like, well, I'm a technician now, but if you give me like a general sticker or a general shirt, that will give me the motivation I need to go get my general. I was like, oh, that's great.
Well,
God, I love that.
I hope I packed that decal in your box.
I think you did.
I'm a terrible shipping department.
See, you do that too. You do help me out incredibly with shipping, because there's nothing I hate more than postage.
I don't know that when we got married, you knew how to mail a letter. Like, I think it was something that you told me your mom had always done for you. And I then hate, I was floored.
I hate dealing with postage. I hate the concept that, like, I could, and a lot of this, I think, predates forever stamps.
Yeah.
That, like, I would have to go buy a stamp and then check what the postage was. And a lot of this was pre-internet, I think, where my scarring came from. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so you didn't really know what the postage was for the weight of the envelope. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have to have, like, those 1 cent,
yes,
you know, stamps and yeah. tack those
was it
suckers
the
math
on. Or?
Yeah, yes. It was going and looking up what the postage was for, you know, a 1 ounce letter.
And sometimes you would just sacrifice the extra cents to stick to.
Like, my time was worth the extra 20 cents that I threw at this thing just to get it gone. I hate mailing things. I hate it.
You know what, though? I use a shipping service for things.
Oh, God, so yeah. good. Yeah.
The shipping service allows you to upload spreadsheets mm-hmm. of data.
Right.
Right. So, and then it'll correlate everything and right. fill everything in, which PayPal no longer does. Mm-hmm. Because apparently they were violating their agreement with USPS. It was supposed to be, they were only supposed to be providing shipping for people who were paying for things through PayPal.
PayPal shipping was like the hot tip.
Yeah.
You used to backdoor into like real cheap shipping.
Yes, yeah.
Now, I have adulted since then. I know how to ship, just so that I don't
sure.
get a bunch of
you
comments.
Sure, you send out QSO cards, right?
Yeah, in fact, that's gotten a lot easier with the Forever stamps. I just buy like more than $100 of stamps at a time.
Do you send
time.
Them in an envelope or is it just a postcard?
I do both.
Okay. So I have bad news for you.
Yeah.
The postage on a postcard is actually cheaper.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
But it's faster. I don't have to do the envelope thing.
Yeah.
If someone QSL cards me with a postcard, I mm-hmm. QSL them back with a postcard.
Gotcha.
If they QSL me with an envelope with a clean QSL card in it, then I QSL them back in an envelope.
Mm.
I just go whatever.
Sure.
I don't send, I'm not like the first striker usually on QSL cards.
Yes, you usually respond to them.
I'm responding to them.
Yeah.
And in fact, I do have a big stack. So if you haven't got a QSL card from me, don't worry. I do have them. I'm working
on also, it. And also, I'm not the one responsible for shipping those.
Leia is not, because it involves getting into my logger, figuring out what the contact was, all that fun stuff. So.
Okay.
Yet. I haven't figured out how to get the... I want to get a Dymo. What I want to do is get a Dymo printer, put it in your office, have it network connected.
Oh, my God.
And then I just send the QSL information to the label, and then you just slap it on the QSL card, and you send it out the
but
door.
But you actually write things on your QSL cards.
Yeah, sure. But you could take your writing and just amplify how bad it looks to a horrible degree, and you'll be right in there. You look just like me. Think doctor, like one step above doctor.
It's really illegible, actually.
Once I got computers, I was like, why are we not doing everything on this? Who writes things? Like,
you have any number of things to type things on, too. Like, you literally found the middle ground between writing something and having a computer. Like,
yeah.
Just... I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you just went to typewriters.
I've got one, like the electric one.
No, I mean like to do your QSO card, just insert it into a typewriter.
Just hear click clacking.
I miss typewriters, actually. I used to write.
I don't.
Like
I hate
term
them.
Papers and stuff them. Like that on.
You know why I hate them? You know why I hate them.
Why? Because you are terrible at grammar.
You got it. No spell
the
check.
Whole thing all over.
No
again.
Spell check on a typewriter.
Yeah. Okay. So Brian actually ordered the extra decals and a pint glass. Thank you so
hey,
much
thank
for
you
that
very
order.
Much.
And he's asking that I make the appliance operator into a decal, which I've gotten that message many times. Because the appliance operator is a two-color decal, mm-hmm. I actually need to make sure that my transparency, because right now it's purposely designed, so a portion of it is see-through, right? Mm-hmm. Like it goes...
The waterfall in particular.
No, is the waterfall? I thought the waterfall was printed. But the part where there's the antenna...
Mm-hmm. Oh, that background.
You can actually... It goes through the shirt, right? Like... So So that
you mean
part
it's
is like
cut out so you can see the nipple and stuff. What are you talking about?
No.
What are you talking? I didn't catch this feature.
Instead of it being like a solid, like just a white and black logo, it's actually got transparency areas so that if you get it on a green shirt, the area behind the antenna is actually going to be green.
Got it.
Right. So, but that doesn't translate so great in decal.
Oh.
So I've actually got to kind of rework it so that it'll print just black and white with no transparency.
We could just put it on a white background. We could just take the whole image and just put a white background on
but
it.
Then I also need to see how that prints in the Kiss Cut.
That's true.
Yeah. So
it's a great idea.
Yeah, I have gotten that message a bunch of times, and I have been quite overwhelmed with my non-ham radio crash course responsibilities.
Thing going on.
Yeah. Work, family, volunteering, COVID safety.
Just COVID in general is
like...
Oh my
God, we are potentially getting locked down again.
I'm not surprised.
California announced today that we have a curfew.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Across the state.
I'm not surprised by any of that.
But if we hit an average of 4,500 cases per day, we are going back into essential...
Back in the hole.
For like, I don't know how long, because the curfew is in place for 30 days. They've already said November 21st.
What's the daily right now we're trending?
Yesterday we were at 3,944.
Oh,
jeez. And the county is actually expecting that by the first week of December, we'll be at 4,000 average cases. And they run a 5-day average or something like that. So...
We're right there, man.
Yeah. And
we're number
one. So people are like, between the driver strike, the potential truck driver strike, and the potential lockdown, like you can't even really get everything you need.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So that's all right. Anyways, thank you for your email, Brian.
Appreciate the email.
I am working on the decal between everything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the emails. Thanks, everybody, for emailing. Again, you can email Leia at leia@hamtactical.com. Please check out the website as well to see her labor in the form of the designs for my apparel store, my brand of apparel, ham radio-related apparel.
Your clothing line.
Clothing line.
And maybe soon to be antenna slap bracelets.
And fragrances.
I'm just going to sell liquid smoke.
Just a bottle of liquid smoke. Close enough.
Yeah.
It smells like burning. There we go. Well, that means it's time, Leia. It's time for our drink review.
Oh, yeah. This is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, this is pretty
low-key. Because I bought this as a joke.
Leia bought a box of wine for me. It's Winking Owl California Red Blend. Where does this come from? Does this come from Aldi?
It does.
Yeah.
But you finished building your workbench.
I built a second workbench.
Yes.
I needed more space. One of the comments I got when I put up my first workbench was that it was too dual purpose. Mm, it was like literal tools.
Yes.
Like I have a circular saw underneath my ham radio. How does this make sense kind of thing?
Right.
And I would literally like drill and cut things like on the same workbench where I had like sensitive electronics sometimes, right? It was,
sure.
I was living dangerously.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, hey, I've got this really long run technically that's right by my other workbench. Wouldn't it be nice if I just moved all my tools and stuff into this much longer workbench? And then I had an area where I could do more tool things and also have a place where I can do video on the tabletop portion of the workbench facing backwards into the shack.
Sure.
And that's
things you
great.
Things you learned from being on Phantom Signals, really.
Yeah, putting up that stupid little table.
Yeah.
I did that because of Phantom Signals, because they wanted a back shot of the radios and all the other stuff. I was like, well, I got this really flimsy table. I'll put this up. And I'm like, hey, I really like this. And then I'm like, okay, well, I just got to do it. So that was last weekend. I think that thing's an 8-footer.
Oh, Wait, did I not do...
Oh, you didn't do the Instagram.
See,
we'll go back
I
to
knew it.
It.
I picked up my phone, you, so I would remember,
God,
and then I forgot.
God.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, 8-footer that I think is like 30 inches wide. So it's a pretty nice workbench. I'm very happy with it. Not cheap, but
good. It's looking good.
It's solid. Good. Real solid. Yeah. Okay. We're pulling comments from Instagram. This is the Ham Tactical Instagram account.
Yes.
Okay.
Which I haven't updated in forever. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
So this is from Grant Davis. It says, I just got my technician license and would like to know the best handheld radio for a beginner. Which I think this is a question you get like all the time.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it comes down to budget. A lot of things come down to budget with ham radio. If you are just starting out and you don't know if you're going to like it or not, a simple Baofeng UV5R at $25 is still completely acceptable. Pay the $20 and get yourself the legitimate programming cable so you can connect it to your computer and program it effectively. And that's fine to get started. If you then want to dip your toe into other things, you know, moving into DMR, Yaesu System Fusion, D-Star, one of the digital modes is fun. I love APRS. It's probably my favorite thing to do with a handy talkie. Those are expensive radios, though, the ones that work in that space. So it's really just going to become a point of what do you think is cool. Mm-hmm. And as you find things that are cool, you're going to start kind of drifting into that location. And then the radios that you would get in those spaces are going to become self-evident as you get more into it. But yeah, start out with a Baofeng.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you got like more money, and then, then I guess send me a message and tell me what it is that you want to do. Right.
Sure. Well, what if there is, what's the next tier of
I mean, a similar radio to the Baofeng that I did a video on is the Yaesu FT4X. It's a similar radio. It's similar to a Baofeng. It's made by Yaesu, though, so you can get it repaired by Yaesu. It's generally better quality. It feels like a better radio. I used one. I like it. W6RIP. He's a search and rescue guy. He uses that when he's doing his search and rescue. Like, that's the radio he packs with him. So he's fairly...
I mean, do Baofengs, like, break easily?
Yes and no. So generally, if you have a Baofeng that works, it's pretty reliable. They do have wonky QA, though, and you will get, like, a hot, bad Baofeng. But you generally know it's a bad Baofeng, like, right out of the box.
Okay.
And then things will eventually go bad on you, mm-hmm. but they've got an okay reliability track record. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they're anywhere near as reliable as the Japanese radios or even the more expensive Chinese radios. Like anything from, so here's if you want to spend a bit more money, there's a company called Wushan. Mm. And I don't know how to spell it, but it's W-O-U... There's probably like an X in there. Yeah, X-U-N, Wushan, which I think is like, what does that translate to? Ocean or something like that? I don't know.
I don't think it's a translation. I think they're literally trying to make it sound
like ocean. Yeah. Yeah, not a translation. They make some really good radios, but they start to trend towards the plus $100 to $200 range. But they're really, really good. You know, any of those are going to be more reliable. And once you get to the $100 range, then you can start looking at Olinko makes some really good ones. They have one that's waterproof right now,
ooh,
which is nice. It can actually be on and submerged in water.
Wow.
So there's not a lot of companies that are doing that anymore. Yaesu has the FT70.
So you can operate in your shower or in the bath, you know?
Or just underwater.
I have take a bath with a radio.
Not like in the water, but yeah, I've definitely had... Yeah. An HT sitting outside the bathtub kind of thing. I've definitely done that.
Yeah.
That's not even a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed to admit that.
I wasn't trying to shame you.
You're looking at me like I should feel ashamed.
I wasn't trying to radio shame you.
It's like, come on, man. You can't shame me.
This I know.
All right. So very good question. Thank you for that on the Instagram. Again, that's Ham Tactical on Instagram and Leia at hamtactical.com if you want to email. So, okay, back to the drink review, Leah. The Winking Owl.
I mean, it's It's fine. It would probably be better in a sangria.
That is the review. It's fine. It's probably better in a sangria. That is what I would say.
Yeah.
Totally drinkable, but it's like meh.
I mean, it's cheap. I think I want to say it's like $10 a box, and there's like 2 liters.
3 liters. They say it's 4 bottles, but I don't know. I never feel like I get 4 bottles out of those.
I don't think you actually understand how much is in a bottle.
Nope.
Yeah. You just drank it.
I just drank it.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Phantom Signals, though.
Oh, yes.
It's wrapped.
We wrapped. Yeah. We wrapped the recording a long time ago, but
yeah.
The last episode aired last week. So sum total, I was in 5 of the 6 episodes.
Oh, right. Because we watched it, the last episode, and we're like, oh, I don't think you filmed anything for it.
The last one we watched together as a family, I was not in at all.
Yeah.
But the last episode, which was the 6th episode, I was brought in for the myth of the missing airplane.
Oh.
This airplane took off, and its emergency beacon started going off. And they didn't know where the plane was. So they went out and started searching for this beacon system. All the while, the plane landed safely at its destination.
Oh.
Like, it showed up, landed. It wasn't like it disappeared. It was kind of like always in radar. It was always there. But they somehow tracked back this emergency beacon to that aircraft. And like, well, where's this coming from? And it turns out that the authorities in Canada were trying to track down the signal, tracked it down to like a grocery store.
What?
And these, you know, officials that work for the government had these, you know, radio listening devices. And they said that the signal was being transmitted by the closed circuit television system, the security cameras, the CCTV system. Well, that's literally, is that possible? Like, this is, you're literally using lines from the episode is this possible? Maybe, you know, no. So it turns out that no, not really, because the tones, the information that even in Morse code that those beacons put out wouldn't be put out by a malfunctioning CCTV system. Mm-hmm. A malfunctioning system could be transmitting a tone, if you will, but it wouldn't have like logic to it. It would just be like,
yeah,
like never ending. It's just malfunctioning. It's going bad.
Yeah.
It could adjust somewhat, but it wouldn't be like, did it, or, you know, did it, da, did it. Right? That's SOS. It wouldn't be doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And it definitely wouldn't be doing the digital beacons that they have now that actually put out information. Like, here I am, here's my lat long, come get me. That kind of thing. It's definitely not doing that. So the long and the short of it was, I think they believe that it was somebody spoofing. Like,
sure.
Illegally.
That would literally be my assumption.
Yeah. I wasn't brought in for that. They brought me in to take a CC television system and test it and see
if it put out
spurious emissions or
just take a hammer to it how long it takes for it to start saying.
They didn't ask me to like damage it. They just sent me like a period appropriate CC television system and I hooked up the cameras and all this fun stuff. And they just wanted to see if it was emitting any RF. So I put like different antennas on it. Mm-hmm. I tried to listen on different frequencies that are the same frequencies as the beacons. And we went through power on, power off cycle. I adjusted the power output that actually went to the unit. I did all kinds of funky stuff. I messed with the camera because the camera has a secondary power input. So I just did all kinds of stuff to try and make it malfunction without hitting it with a hammer. And I mean,
the hammer would have been my first choice.
But. Yeah, so I had a little setup, little segment, and fun thing for those watching. Everything that you have seen of me prior to that segment was filmed by their crew.
Oh, so the last episode?
The last episode, that was my camera that shot that, and that was shot after the time of COVID.
Was it very noticeable?
No, I don't think so. But I think they did add a filter.
They did do a shift, though. It was very clear.
Did you go back and watch it?
I want to say the 5th episode.
No, I'm saying the last
right,
one.
Right, right. But I'm saying that at some point, I think in the series, it was pretty clear that people had started filming at home.
Oh, maybe. But
yeah.
For me, it was always their equipment.
Right.
All of the episodes up into this last one was all their equipment that featured me.
I gotta go back and watch it again.
So yeah, tell me.
Yeah.
My simple, you know, what is it, $900 Sony A6400?
There's no way that the video quality is anywhere near as good.
Versus their $10,000 Blackmagic raw shooting magic camera.
I wonder if my phone would do a better job.
Maybe.
No, don't. I don't want you taking my phone for every time you want to film something. Okay. So
that means it's time. We've put it on long, or we've put it off long enough, Lance.
We put it on long enough. You know what? My iPad's running out of batteries. So I'm just kidding.
I know that's not true because whenever we get started, you ask me for a power bank and you didn't ask me today. So I assumed it was charged.
Oh, that was just poor preparation on my part.
Oh, so it's going to die?
No, I mean, I think we can.
Okay,
we can get through.
Let's try.
Five.
Let's try. Yeah, let's five. Try.
Because we are at 12 out of 35.
Oh, man, we're moving.
Whew. So speedy. Mm-hmm. Just the rate at which I am taking tests.
You're. I mean, yeah.
What?
And the retention is there. Obviously. It's a byproduct of how often you test.
It's terrible. That's why I'm like, you got your tech and your general. What are you doing? Like,
what are you doing? Trying?
Testing every day.
Will you try hard?
How many sample tests are you taking?
Sample? It's a sample. Practice test practice. Is what we use.
How many practice tests are you taking?
You're taking a sample test.
Yeah.
You're getting a Costco sample size test every week.
You
five
can't give
questions.
Those out anymore.
No, because of COVID.
Yeah.
Another thing ruined by COVID.
Okay, so what is the approximate amount of change measured in decibels of a power increase from 5 watts to 10 watts?
We have talked about this.
I know.
We
there's
have
like,
talked
there's like a chart.
About this. No chart needed for this. It's just a straight.
Is it?
Every time you do this.
Is it 5 decibels?
What are your options? You haven't said them yet.
Or A, it's 2 decibels, B, 10 decibels, C, 5 decibels, or D, 3 decibels. I'm assuming it's either 2.
We like have talked
2 or 5.
We have talked about decibels. It's been mentioned in emails. It's been it's been commented on shirts. I've talked about what happens when you do something to the power, what happens? Like it's been mentioned.
Okay. All right. Okay. So two then. Why are you so
Did you
upset?
Answer?
No, I didn't.
Again, you looked at
you're
me.
You're looking at me so floored that I don't remember this.
And I'm, big drink, guys.
I'm so.
That is a okay wine.
It's fine.
It's fine. That is a fine tasting sip.
So B10, right?
No.
B5. C5.
Are you messing with me?
It's 3. How does that make sense?
Okay. Okay.
I need to go back and look at that chart.
Okay,
somebody was
remember,
very nice to send that to me, and I didn't study it.
Do you remember the concept of it's 6 dBs to an S unit?
Uh-huh.
Every time you double power, you get half an S unit.
So it's 3.
3. Yeah.
Great.
So just okay. The key part on that was 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doubling your power.
Uh-huh.
You're getting half an S unit. That's 3 dB.
Okay. Okay. That's a lot of, you know.
All of those things were discussed, not like in one question and answer.
I just didn't remember the formula.
Okay.
Like, I'd literally need to study the formula mm-hmm. to remember that. And that's not something that, like, somebody's going to say 6 dBs to the S unit. And I know that the S unit is worth this much. That's literally not, it's not in my everyday life. Okay.
You mean you're... You're not talking to people, your friends who are, you know, talking about raising children, and you're like, well, so I doubled the power the
I'm
other day.
I'm literally running an online virtual preschool co-op twice a week, mm-hmm. so that Edison isn't lonely.
Maybe you should start reading them the technician's manual.
Yeah, they would love that because they're so easy to keep engaged.
Oh my gosh, like, right? They're the most captive audience.
Okay.
Not just captive, captivated.
Which of the following electronic components can amplify signals? A transistor, B electrolytic capacitor, C variable resistor, or D a multi-cell battery? What? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm gonna guess that it's
yeah. You're getting hit hard with the questions right up front here.
It's really discouraging.
Yeah, I feel it.
So the capacitor was the one that controls the energy flow, right? Like it like kind of stores the energy. Yeah,
storing
like
is the right term. Yes.
Right. So that wouldn't amplify anything. Right.
You're looking at me like I'm going to give you something.
And why would a variable resistor amplify signals if it's power?
Mm-hmm. It throttles. Yeah. Right? Well, what does it mean if it's variable then?
It throttles at different levels.
Or less or more.
But it can't amplify.
I'm not saying the answer. I'm just clarifying what that means.
Though good battery power is really supposed to help you
what
with
if
your
I
signal.
Just gave you more battery?
I'm going to go with variable resistor. Ah, no! You psyched me out. I was literally going to go with transistor. Because I was like, how can throttling help?
I was clarifying what the term meant.
You have screwed me.
I am to blame? Okay. It's fine. I'll take the one out of the 35 that I'm at fault for.
Whew. Which of the following actions might amateur operators take to prevent exposure to RF radiation in excess of FCC supplied limits? A, relocate antennas. B, increase the duty cycle. C, all of these choices are correct. D, relocate the transmitter. A, relocate the antennas.
Great. Good work.
Boom. One.
The duty cycle specifically would increase your exposure. That is the polar opposite of what they're asking there. So just keep that in mind. And the transmitter. So if your antenna was, say, in the sandbox that the children played in, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter where the transmitter is.
Yes.
The antenna is still radiating all over the children. So yes. You need to move the antenna.
I like how you put it in terms of the children.
See?
Yeah.
I heard a ding, so I know that sunk in. We got that. But you knew that beforehand. You knew that.
What type of amateur stations can automatically retransmit the signals of other amateur stations? A, beacon, repeater, or space stations. B, auxiliary, beacon, or earth stations. C, repeater, auxiliary, or space stations. D, earth, repeater, or space stations. I'm going to go with A, beacon, repeater, or space stations. What is an auxiliary station? The answer is repeater, auxiliary, or space stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is an auxiliary
it's
station?
It's like a remote station.
Oh. So beacon.
A beacon doesn't take your signal and retransmit it. It just transmit whatever the beacon's transmitting.
Ah, I see.
We talked about beacons, CW beacons.
Yes.
When's that battery dying?
I know, right? That only really zapped 3%. I was really...
Who's running this like benchmarking tool in the background that's taxing the processor at 100%? Oh, it's dead. Oh, hey. Three questions today.
Which of the following could be the reason you are unable to access a repeater whose output you can hear? A, the repeater may require proper CTCSS tone from your transceiver. B, improper transceiver offset. C, the repeater may require proper DCS tone from your transceiver. D, all of these are correct. I don't know, like, any of these acronyms.
This is also one of the questions I get all the time.
I don't know what any of these things are.
I get this question all the time. All of the time.
I'm just going to go with all of these are correct.
Good.
Ah!
Good.
I win. Now, so, tell me what a CTCSS and a DCS is.
So I'm not going to get all in the weeds with what those two are.
No, please.
But it's when you key up the radio specifically, the radio puts out a certain like tone. This is for PL tone specifically. Mm-hmm. It puts out a tone at a particular hertz rating that the repeater receives it. And then when the repeater hears that tone, it opens up its capability to receive your signal and retransmit it. What people also get wrong is that the offset is incorrect. So the way the repeaters work is that they receive on one frequency mm-hmm. and transmit on another frequency. If you set your radio up to receive a frequency and you hear people talking on the repeater and you're trying to talk into that repeater, you have to make sure that your offset is correct and that you have a tone if that repeater requires one. Otherwise, it will not work. Okay. And I get messaged on that all the time.
Alrighty.
Got one more in you? Is that four? Or is that
five?
Yeah,
that's four. What is a transceiver? unit combining the functions of a transmitter and a receiver. B, a type of antenna matching network. C, a component in a repeater that filters out unwanted interference. D, a type of antenna switch. I'm going to go with a unit combining the functions of a transceiver, a transmitter, and a receiver. Yeah.
See, the test felt bad for you.
Yeah.
And gave you one just to be like, stay with us, Leia. Please get your license. We're rooting for you. I'm sorry we have to do this sometimes, but we still really like you. I was doing
really good up to that point, actually, up to today.
Today was not good.
Yeah, today was not good.
So you got to, like, next week, you got to bring your A game.
I gotta tell you, I'm like bleary eyed tired right now.
That's definitely the time you want a podcast.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is the Insomnia Podcast. Thanks for joining us again.
I'm pretty sure somebody does that.
I'm sure. Anything that's possibly interesting somebody's doing on the interwebs. So we've got kind of a new segment. We started it last week. To go along with our podcast. It's already over an hour at this point. Leia's Question Corner. Last week, what did you ask? What was the question last week?
I don't even know why. I don't remember my question this week.
Why are drive-up summits so hard to find? Good question. If you want to hear that, go check out last week's podcast.
I don't remember my question this week.
That's why I write these things down. When you talk, I just like, write this down. This is gold. Leia said, or asked, what is the most embarrassing thing you can do in ham radio?
I did ask that question.
So there's actually a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say before I give an answer to this, that generally all of these things are not that big a deal. The FCC is not going to come kick down your door.
Sure.
They're not going to like take your shack away.
Could you imagine?
You might, I know, right? Back when the FCC had money. Now they have no money. nobody's going to like do anything other than you may piss some people off. And really the best thing you can do is just be like, mea culpa, my bad. Could you tell me what I'm supposed to do or not do?
Sure.
I'm all ears. I'm really trying to learn something. They might not convey that you screwed up in the best way. They probably make you feel bad about it. I don't approve of that, right? They shouldn't do that.
You're telling me that the FCC's method of disciplining people
is shame? No, other hams. Other hams.
Okay.
But I will tell you what the most embarrassing thing you can do is. I have done... Well, I'll talk about two. And the one I did is really not that bad. But anyway, we'll get to that. The most embarrassing thing you can do is specifically when you're a general and you accidentally, usually people do it not on purpose, they slide down to the extra portion of the frequency and they start talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And then that person they're talking to will look them up, their call sign, and
they're
be like,
you don't sound like an extra.
Bro, you ain't from around here. You need to get back to where you belong.
And there's just like a lot of built-in gatekeeping. Then
it is, yeah, it is, it is, it is, and I don't like gatekeeping either. But that is probably one of the most embarrassing things.
Do you
think
they really did it on accident, though?
I have definitely accidentally transmitted in the extra portion of the band when I was a general, and I apologized. I moved off.
Here comes your FCC fine.
I did it on a live stream. Okay.
Oh, it was so during a contest. Evidence?
There's even evidence. I did it on a contest. I wasn't thinking, and I just went to where the frequency space was not in use because it's
right.
The extra, there's not during a contest. Most people are in the general portion. I've done this, so mea culpa.
Shame on you.
I know. Shame.
Shame on you.
Totally feel bad about it. I was like live pilloried for my transgression.
What did everybody say?
Oh my god, so many people.
Amazing.
So many people commented. Anyway, I'm an extra now just so that I don't screw up on live streams anymore. So there's one of the reasons
we
why
all
I
have our motivations.
We all have our motivations. The other thing I did, which I don't view this as embarrassing so much, it is to some people. There is a frequency that is like notorious for,
is it 80 meters?
No, frequency.
Oh.
But you're talking about a whole band.
Yes.
So 14.300 megahertz is the maritime frequency. They have a maritime net that runs 24/7.
And just it's talking about sails purpose, and anchors.
No, its purpose is to receive distress calls from maritime mobile stations.
Okay.
And during field day, I keyed up on that frequency and started trying to take calls. And somebody came back immediately. This is a maritime mobile frequency. You cannot use this frequency. It is for protecting, you know, ships out at sea and maritime mobile,
so,
and blah, blah, blah.
Not for
and I
talking
went,
about nautical
I
themes
went,
at all.
Mea culpa. I'm going to segue directly into talking about knots. Who's ready
like
for
not,
who's
knots
ready for
with
knot
the
net?
Rope or yeah. Knots with the speed?
K-N-O-T. Oh, hey. Ah, I see what you did there. And that was the best part about it is they came back and they're like, well, what do you mean? Knots for fastening rope? Or do you mean speed? And I went, well, you got to tune into my net tonight, 8 p.m. to find out. And they're like, whoa, harumph. That whole discussion, 14.300 megahertz, so many people get like, real passionate on both sides of the argument. Because
what is the other side of the argument?
Why are, like, just because you're on a boat doesn't mean you can't slide your frequency around and just call for help on another frequency.
Oh, interesting.
And maritime ships, they have their own naval frequency spaces.
Oh.
There are naval radios specifically designed for naval traffic.
So you're saying they've reserved a band that they didn't need to reserve?
It's not reserved because you can't reserve it.
Like they've claimed informally claimed a frequency that they really some people believe they shouldn't claim.
Correct. Yeah. Like your belief that you're helping is probably more than you actually are helping. Mm. Is what some people would claim. I don't have any problem with it. I don't care. There's plenty of spaces. Sure. I just moved around. I was like, oh, that's my bad.
I do know a family that was like sailing. They lived on their sailboat and they were like ocean schooling their
big
kids
ham radio operators, right?
They ended up having to be rescued.
Never mentioned ham radio.
It was out of San Diego. They had to be rescued. And then I think they billed them for the rescue.
Well, of course. Wait, what do you mean they had to be rescued in San Diego?
No, they were on the ocean, and I think one of their kids fell extremely ill.
Oh, okay.
And then they had to go out and be rescued because for whatever reason they couldn't get back fast enough. They were too far out.
Well, they're on a sailboat.
No.
Well, they had to take the trade winds.
She was a
their
Tula
first stop
mom.
Was Easter Island.
I know about this from baby wearing.
It all goes back to baby wearing. We haven't brought up baby wearing in a long time. I'm glad that maritime mobile radio brought us back to the time-honored tradition of carrying your baby on you with a strap.
That mom actually had a custom Tula made for her from like the actual Tula makers. It wasn't like a off custom, like, because you can take the baby carriers, take them to another seamstress and custom them. It was, they did the print especially for her.
How much did that cost? Just so people get
it. It was a gift. I don't know. She's a very special mom, I guess.
Because she's on a boat?
I don't know.
Was it a nautical themed Tula carrier?
No, it was like waves. It was
nautical themed.
No, it's ocean themed. Nautical is not the same because you can have an ocean theme without having boats in it.
Fair enough.
Just like beach themed homes don't necessarily have like tons of anchors in them or something.
And this is the portcullis. Yeah, not necessarily a full-on thing that you have. That's true.
Yeah.
I guess like nautical-themed homes is probably like more of a dude thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Where like a beach theme is
yeah,
more
lots of
the
rope
ladies.
And like
lots of rigging.
Those glass baubles that they used to use.
But women put those up though. Those are like the bobbers, right? The floaters.
Yeah, I don't know that they all know what they are. They're just like, ooh, that looks like macrame.
When the light hits it, it makes green things on the wall. Yeah.
Well, this is sexist, actually. Suddenly, women
you just said they don't know what it is. I was just riffing.
No, I'm saying that it looks like an artistic piece. You wouldn't necessarily, if you saw it in a home decor store.
If I saw those green and blue baubles that are in netting, I would be like, that is.
They're not
for
normally
boats.
In netting, though. They're like on like a jute kind of macrame thing. It's not actually macrame.
It's a net.
But it looks like it's macrame.
But it's a net.
Okay.
Just because it's a
net.
Tinier net doesn't mean that it's like not a net.
Fine, whatever.
What are you talking about? Oh, it's macrame? Okay, I got it.
I would actually put that in our house, and we are not nautically themed. You know what I'm saying?
This is how they get you. You get those stupid blue and green baubles in here, and then next thing you know,
anchors away.
Jesus. Oh no! I do have one more, and then we'll get out of here. Or in the next segment. On to the next segment.
Let's just go.
Let's just go.
The studio is literally our kitchen table. But let us leave the house.
Let's just go. So the other one, and this one's always really funny when it happens. There's another frequency. Very popular. It is 14.230 megahertz. For those of you that know that are listening, you know that is the frequency for slow scan television. You've seen slow scan television. I've showed you in the.
Was it painful?
No, it's. Oh. Well, it looks like when you would download an image on AOL in the 90s,
yes,
and it was like
okay.
Super pixelated.
Yes, yes. So it's always porn.
Yeah. No, but it's mostly women.
Right.
Like sexy women.
Sure.
Right. Like
you just can't tell because it's so pixelated. Josh.
I literally have. Okay. We will talk about this. Let me get to the point of why this is funny. So it could be like a contest weekend, or it could just be somebody making a QSO, and they'll tune up on that frequency. And the frequency could be like pretty quiet at that point. Mm-hmm. And somebody starts calling CQ, like, hey, this is blah, 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 CQ, 20 meters. And then immediately he will get replied to at very high power just by like,
like a modem sound.
All the SSTV people start transmitting immediately on top of him because he deemed it okay to transmit on the SSTV frequency. And so they'll just immediately start hitting him with SSTV.
So it's interesting that you say that because I had a Furby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
I know where this
was
is going.
Totally fine.
Everything was fine until.
And then one day it just started making fax sounds.
If that had happened today, I would have been like Johnny on the spot. Yeah. I would have recorded the audio and then been like, what digital mode is this? I would have tried to figure out like how to decode the Furby.
There were so many conspiracy theories about these fax speaking Furbies that it was some.
Wait, it was a thing. Yours wasn't.
It wasn't just,
a fluke?
Mine. Some just stopped talking. I even swapped the batteries on this thing, and you couldn't actually turn it off. You had to pull the batteries from it.
If you pulled the batteries out and it was still doing fax tones, that would be a problem. Yes. That's basically Skynet at that point. The Furby was harvesting you for energy. The Furby is actually what's in the center of the Matrix.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Think about it. Think about it.
But at the moment you put, like, the batteries back in, it would just make
oh, my
the
bad.
Back sound.
Was I just doing something really weird? I'm just a Furby. I'm not sus at all.
So I had, like, looked it up, and, like, other people kind of had the same like issue. It was just not like widely known enough for it to be a thing, but people.
And then awkwardly they were all in some kind of weird Furby suicide ring.
They all wound up dead. So maybe it's just Furbies, man.
Maybe it's just Furbies. But to go along with that SSTV thing, one of my favorite pastimes is I will set up my radio on 14.230. I'll plug my Raspberry Pi into it, point my antenna into the middle of the country, and I'll just leave that sucker listening to SSTV all day.
Okay.
And then I'll come back at the end of the day, and then I can look at what all the weird people posted on SSTV.
Why do they have to be weird people?
Well, let me get to that.
Okay.
I would say 75% or more are ladies.
Like ladies sending them?
No. Unless it is them personally that has that picture, that they're so proud of that picture that they're in, that they're sending it. I'm assuming it's a dude that's sending sexy lady pics.
Like as a trans or?
What? What? Wait, what?
They're so proud of themselves as a trans woman?
No, I'm saying that, no, that woman could be the radio operator, I guess. Like, I'm not taking that away. I would just say statistically, that's probably not what's going on.
But so they are not transmitting pictures of themselves?
I'm guessing no.
Okay.
I'm guessing no.
Okay.
But what happened, and it was kind of what you talked about, you will often be receiving a picture, and then there'll just be like a momentary blip of like interference, static, whatever, where it like...
Somebody queued up.
You lose part of the picture.
Yeah.
Literally, this picture was this woman that was like bent over. She was... had most of her clothes on, except her top was off.
Okay.
And literally where the interference is like right over the spot of her of her chest. And I'm like, okay.
Thank you for checking. I told you it was going to be porn.
The sun is censoring pictures now.
I told you it was going to be porn.
I would say that that's like the rarer case. It's maybe...
Mainly
5%.
Like, mainly it's like flyers advertising mattress sales or something.
The faxes didn't go away. They just went to SSTV. Remember when you get the wild like ad
that
your fax machine would print out? And it's like, bro,
where did
you
get
just
my
made
number?
Me pay to print your ad. Bro, what are you talking about? Yeah, that was a thing that happened. That was a hot 90s world. The other thing that happened, and they've stopped. It's pretty wild. A lot of Trump SSTVs, like a lot.
Like what?
Like Trump.
Like supporting Trump. Like,
yeah, okay. Trump, gotcha. 2020s.
Yeah.
Go vote. Not even go vote. Just like Trump World, Trump America, 2020. Blah blah blah. Haven't seen a one since the election. They're just
what
gone.
Is there to be said?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I just have, that's a trend I've noticed. I'm not commenting on it.
Then they're going to be like The Apprentice 2021.
Yeah, right? I'm just waiting to see him again. He's being on. He's going to be on TV.
Yeah, he doesn't
disappear. He's going to have a network. He's going to have a network.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Doesn't he already have a network? There's not like Trump's network. He doesn't have TV shows already.
I mean, as a president, I don't know that you're supposed to do that.
I know, like Ivanka or Ivana runs them now.
Ivanka, that's his ex-wife, is running. It's just a channel against him. Is what you're saying?
Got it. Ivana's just running the network now.
Maybe. Anyway, enough of that political stuff because we don't really care about that. We're here to talk about radio.
It's true.
And we got a really cool topic, I think. When should you DIY and when should you buy? This was a really good topic that Leia came up with.
I did. Huh.
And we're going to cover it to a certain degree because this is a pretty deep, deep concept, right?
Sure. I mean, if you want to make an antenna out of beach chairs, there's not anybody really selling those right now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to DIY them.
It's fairly artisanal.
Yes.
Check out my Pinterest on how you too can get a combination antenna and beach chair outfit.
I have taken those to the beach.
You have?
Yes.
Yes, I know. So the antenna is the easy one, and that's jumping ahead a little bit of some of the bullets I've taken, but you should definitely DIY your antenna. If you're thinking about, and we started the show off actually talking about a DIY antenna, you should do a NFED half-wave antenna. You should make a dipole. Right? We've talked about dipoles so many times on this podcast.
That's the one with the two things.
Mm-hmm. The two things. Everybody can go make them. The first antenna I made was a dipole. I didn't use a fancy center connector or anything like that. I just had I used the bulkhead connector again for the PL259. The base, the metal base with the screw holes, that's where the wire comes out. That's one leg of the antenna. Mm-hmm. The center pin is the other leg of the antenna. And I just cut it for 20 meters. And that's what I did.
Voila.
That's what I started with on HF. I used a painter pole, one of those little extendable painter pole, like 20 feet up. Just shot that up, and then it was an inverted V, and it went against my fence line. That's what I did in the house. Works fine. You should definitely do that. You should consider, you know, if you live in an HOA, build your own dipole, put it in the attic. Build a multiband dipole, a fan dipole, put it in the attic. Have a dipole that you cut and you build that you leave in a bag, and it's your field expedient antenna. Maybe make it a little long, 40 meters or 80 meters. 80 meters would be great, and you can run it as NVIS. You get it close to the ground. You know, all those things, you should definitely DIY antennas, no question. But then I was starting to think about, like, well, you know, what radios can you still DIY? And the good news is you can still DIY an entire radio. You can DIY a CW, Morse code only radio. You can DIY single sideband radios. There are plans that exist online. You can look them up, how to make them. Bob Heil, last year was when it was really popular. He did a radio build on a Brett, like a board. He had like a wooden board that he built the radio on, and he had all the discrete components like on the board, like you could see it.
Interesting.
And he had the parts numbers for, you know, what you could, how to build it and all that stuff. And it, I think it got an article in QST magazine.
Sure.
AWRL and CQ. I think it might have been CQ. Either way, the capability to build antennas as we've mentioned before hasn't gone away. It exists. It's still a totally acceptable thing that you should consider doing if you're interested in doing it. Last weekend on the Ham Radio Crash Course live stream, we did a live build for a QRP, four-state QRP Cricket, which is a 40-meter CW transmitter. And I think I have built that in about an hour. It may take somebody that's a little new, maybe 2 hours to build the whole thing. But you have a completely working radio. It is a receive. It's a transceiver. It's a radio and a transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a built-in CW key directly on it. So yeah, you're paying somebody for the kit, but you're building it.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's no reason why you can't look up plans online and build your own radio with that. So generally, I would say unless you're talking about like going to buying a Baofeng, right? There's not a lot of DIY handhelds.
Okay.
You can DIY a VHF, UHF radio, but they're going to be like bigger. They're not going to be like handheld.
Right, not at this portable. Point.
Now, there are things in work for something called the M17, I believe is the term. It is an open source handheld, basically.
Wow.
That people are developing. It's not completely DIY because you're going to use parts that you can buy, like, you know, Raspberry Pi or whatever goes into it. It's probably going to be an Arduino or something like that. So those are going to be more using components that are like off-the-shelf electronics that you're kind of purposing for ham radio. But that's the thing that's coming. That's coming mm-hmm. down the pipe. That'll be in the future. So it's a totally interesting spot right now to both be able to dip your toe into the world of DIYing antennas, which is totally acceptable. Everybody should do that. Fantastic. But you also can still build your own radio if you have the components, mm-hmm. or you can go buy a kit, mm-hmm. build the kit on your own. I believe Elecraft, who is an American company, American-made radio, still has kit radios you can buy.
Wow.
And the radio you get out of it, by the way, these are like kits, not for the mild. Like, these are serious kits. The kit you get out of it is fantastic. It stands up to...
It's building like a KX2.
KX2 is like a kit, or the KX3 or one of them. Yeah, it was a kit.
Wow.
Yeah, the K1, the K2, and the KX1 were definitely kits. And I think maybe the KX3 was a kit, and I think the KX2 is the first line that they did not have a kit for.
But how much cheaper is the kit from the built
Elecraft? $200.
So everybody's like, forget it, Elecraft, you build it.
Hey. So if I build this and I screw it up, will you warranty my work? No, Bob, we will not. I'm not Bob, you know, me or whomever. But you know what I mean? Like, it's people do it for like the fun of it.
Right.
They're doing it for the hobby aspect. Because you get, it's like when you go restore like a Mustang.
It's like when you knit a hat.
You know what? It's just like that. You got it. You nailed it. It's just like that.
You can buy the hat. It's
but
right
why
there.
Not knit it?
Why not take several days of your life
to monotonously looping yarn around your fingers? You know, that's kind of how I solder too. I just loop the solder around my fingers, and then I just jam the hot iron in between there to like get the solder where I want it to go.
It's
a lot of fun.
And then you can go, I made this hat. And then other people are like, I can tell.
Right. And then you practice first aid, third degree burns, how to handle those. Like, there's a whole thing. Like, it's a whole thing you build up to, right?
It's not the same as rebuilding a Mustang. The
yes,
Mustang
it is.
Came. It didn't like it wasn't like the Mustang came in parts for you to put together.
I mean, okay. I'm saying it's similar in the sense that like you have to go through the whole process.
It is
right?
more like knitting a hat.
Because it's a raw ball of yarn and you have some sticks.
Yeah. Or you could just buy the hat.
By the way, Elecraft sells hats. You know, so if you're interested in that. Actually, the KX2 Shack in the Box comes with a hat. Because the KX2 is meant to be taken outdoors.
Oh.
And so you need a hat so you get the sun out of your
Are
eyes.
You joking with me? It comes with a hat.
It comes with a hat.
No, it doesn't.
It totally does. The $1,200 Shack in the Box kit.
Oh my God.
Comes with a hat. An Elecraft hat. It's a nice hat.
Sometimes when you buy like handmade things on Etsy, they throw in candy.
Candy!
I guess it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing if you're buying a $1,200 radio, a hat is like, this softens the blow. Hey, wife, it came with a hat.
Would you like the hat? It's like I bought it for both of us.
We can share the hat.
No. In this scenario, you give the wife the hat.
Yes, indeed.
That's her portion of the purchase.
I know how much you liked the typeface that Elecraft uses on their logo. So I thought, why reinvent the wheel? I'll just get you a hat with their logo on it.
But to get the hat, I had to buy the radio.
Super limited.
You know, lots of people ask, how do you convince your wife?
So last podcast, you explained how you get a Birkin.
Yeah.
Ella Craft is the same way. To get their hat, you must buy a $1,200 radio. Yeah. That's it. They don't sell it any other way. I'm kidding, of course.
You had to start with the Ella Craft keychain, then work your way up. But it's backwards. You're like, you have to buy the most expensive
one
radio.
Lump sum and yeah. then get a hat. That's the only way. Very good, very good. But no, think about DIYing any part of your shack, your power supply, your tuner, you know, all those things can be DIY'd. And there are plans online to do it. I'm not going to post a lot of like plans in the chat, but Google literally.
Definitely not in the chat.
Not in the chat. Sorry. Not the description, I mean. But you can Google all this stuff. It's all there. And in fact, when I did my DIY antenna video a couple weeks ago or last week, I posted links to websites that have more than just antenna DIY projects. They also have radio DIY projects.
Cool.
Go to town. Absolutely. I would say, though, if you're going to start DIYing stuff, start with your antenna, particularly if you're starting out. You will feel like a big sense of accomplishment in doing it. And I think also...
It just sticks in some wire, you know?
Yeah. It also really, really, really justifies your purchase of an antenna analyzer. So when you're talking to the wife...
Oh, my God.
And you're building up to your hat... you say, honey, I'm also working on an antenna, and I want it to be the best antenna.
No, you tell your wife, I can make my own antenna mm-hmm. and buy this inexpensive analyzer, or I'm going to have to buy this antenna that is pre-made and very expensive.
You got it.
Yeah.
This antenna is $400. Or, hear me out, or I could buy a $300 antenna analyzer. And uh-huh. $20 of Home Depot wire.
Yeah. $80 savings.
$80 savings. That's, you nailed it. Again, that's why we have you on the podcast. Why you have me on the podcast, because you have all this knowledge, and I'm just sussing it out of you as we go through it. Well, very good. And Leah, do you have any comments, anything to wrap up the week? This is going to be the last people will hear from you before we go into the turkey season.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you're not going to do a Thanksgiving podcast?
Again, this podcast posts on Friday.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And Leah, and I'm speaking for Leah here. Leah would like to remind everybody, don't you dare put Christmas lights on your house until after the Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh my gosh, I get so upset.
Leah is personally offended if you start putting up Christmas lights or Christmas decor before Thanksgiving happens. And if she sees
wait, pause. This year, I have not been as upset because I know people need this Christmas cheer.
But you're giving them a little COVID leeway.
Yeah.
Good.
But
good.
For me, mm-hmm. you have royally effed Thanksgiving by putting the pressure of Christmas before Thanksgiving.
And if she sees you walking down the street with a peppermint mocha before Thanksgiving, she will slap that thing right out of your hand and laugh in your face.
That is the first drink I order from Starbucks after Thanksgiving.
I would like to say specifically, Leah does not buy beverages at Starbucks.
Yeah, it's not common.
Almost ever. Yeah. Ever, ever, ever.
Okay, well, I have a confession. I do buy it more than never.
I rarely have ever seen you with a Starbucks anything, except when it is the Leia appropriate Christmas time.
Yes.
And then you are like peppermint mocha all
up. Oh, I go hard. I'm like, Love Actually is blasting. I finished like all the Christmas shopping on Black Friday. All the decorations are up like the weekend of Thanksgiving, like after Thanksgiving.
To give you credit, you also very rarely will buy anything for gifts before Thanksgiving actually ends.
No, I don't buy
anything
for Christmas.
Black Friday is actually where you shop for most people.
yeah, that's like the beginning of my holiday shopping. And then I get it all done by the end of the first week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very...
I've got a real system to make my holiday stress like super low.
Yeah, no, you've mastered it over time. It's very impressive.
The fact that people have Christmas
lights. I walk into a store, it's October 31st, Mariah Carey is belting on the speakers, and I just want to scream.
I actually avoid stores that have Christmas decorations before. Nordstrom's does not put up Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's one of the few retailers that
I mean, you're not anti Mariah Carey's Christmas song.
No, it just must be in Love Actually. Appropriate time for Christmas, and it is not while we are trying to figure out how to respectfully honor Native Americans while also celebrating Thanksgiving.
Well, we're trying to wade through the minefield that is our ancestors dealing with Native Americans.
That's a lot to unpack, and I can't also wrap gifts.
I can't also punch somebody out for a HDTV. How am I going to unpack this guilt that I'm carrying? Like, what is Black Friday even going to look like this year?
It's all online.
How does Walmart survive?
From Black Friday to Cyber Monday is like all the shopping time.
But I mean, there won't be any Black Friday in stores then.
They've already started Black Friday deals.
No, I know, but like there will not be stores running Black Friday deals.
There are, but they have started already. They started like towards the beginning of November.
But there's not like the Walmart punch your neighbor deal.
They have already run their punch their neighbor deal slowly. It's not all of the punch your neighbor deals at the same time.
To bunch everybody up for the COVID.
They're
spreading it out.
And they're making the punch your neighbor available online.
Good.
So
it's a coupon you can buy. Yeah. To just go punch. Some neighbors have signed up. To spread the violence out.
You open the door, somebody punches you. Walmart doesn't got my TV.
Walmart doesn't want to reduce the violence. They just want to reduce COVID.
They give you instructions on who else tried to buy it.
Right.
And who successfully bought it.
Right.
So you can just go all punch each other.
When you successfully are the first person to buy the TV.
Yes.
It will tell you the people right below you. Who didn't get it and their address.
So you can go commit a felony. You not only got the TV, but you're going to punch them.
Because how do we replicate the world of inane violence over consumer electronics if we can't do it in person? I can't lose out on the culture that is American consumerism.
Like, how do you camp out?
You got the TV. You camp out in front of the neighbor's house. You show up at 3 a.m. You camp out. And then when they come out, you jump them. And then...
Okay.
But the best part about this is, you know, Walmart still needs to pay all these security people.
No, they don't.
Well, yeah, it's a big part of their, you know, they got to keep, it would be unfair that they kept this security crew staffed that they've been paying years, right, to deal with the surge of violence.
I don't think Walmart cares.
The security crew will come out to your location where you're camping out. And they'll stand there and blow a whistle at you after beating the neighbor up.
And walkie-talkie for help.
They'll have a Baofeng, of course.
Bring
that
it
connects
back.
To no one.
Yeah. Nobody's coming.
Except the kid down the street who figured out that they're using Baofengs. And he's just trolling them. He's playing SpongeBob SquarePants clips into the radio. And that is the season.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Or happy Black Friday.
Don't go get violenced. Do your online shopping is, I think, what Leia is saying. So
happy Thanksgiving. Don't burn down your house by putting a frozen turkey in hot oil.
Is everybody going to be frying turkeys this year? I didn't even really think about that, but everybody's trapped at home.
Yeah.
Everybody's thinking like, I'm trapped at home.
You know what I
got to do something big this year. I got to burn the whole house down.
No. I haven't bought our turkey yet, and I realized that most people who wouldn't normally buy a turkey may actually be buying a turkey this year because there's not multiple houses joining together for one turkey.
Oh my gosh.
It is everybody at their own house with turkey.
There's like single family residences buying like 20 pound turkeys.
I mean, you could get a smaller turkey, man.
There's
you don't
very
have to
few
go
smaller
20.
Turkeys.
Like
the big
go
turkeys.
Like a 10 pound turkey.
There's not that many
yeah,
of
those.
Yeah,
it's called a young turkey.
But there's not that
just
many.
Don't get the old turkey. Get the young turkey.
But when you go to the grocery, like they don't have a lot of like the smaller turkeys. They do, but they're like, they try and get you to get the big ones because you're hosting a meal.
Yeah, sure. Should I just do everything with Honey Baked? Have them give me the turkey and then not roast the big bird? Oh, the kids will be so disappointed if we don't roast the big bird, though. That's like...
We're not going to roast a 20-pound turkey. I mean, if you get me a small turkey, I'll smoke it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not roasting anything. You are smoking.
Yeah, I have a long tradition of smoking the Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem continuing that, but... Getting my normal turkey this year would be insane.
Yeah, we'll get a small turkey, but you're still insisting on the Honey Baked then?
No.
Okay.
If it's too...
A Honey Baked ham without the bone in? And then you can't get the bone in at the smaller size. They don't shrink the ham. So then
it's a baby ham. It's a baby. It's a suckling honey bag.
Yeah, the smaller hams have no bone in them.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm fine with I'm fine with forgoing.
Really? Because it's your favorite thing.
It is. I prefer the honey baked ham over the turkey.
Okay, we'll get both. It's fine.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But I mean, the smoked turkey is still way better than anything that we normally, the normal turkey.
But then how will you have bean soup for a week with that honey baked ham?
Well, let's see. So we bought a bone-in ham. We each ate two slices. So that leaves 20 slices still on the bone, right in the soup.
This is more ham than bean. You lie.
That's right, son.
You eat so many slices
I
of ham.
I eat so much ham.
You just come back throughout the day, and you're like, oh, I'm some just going to pull
fool,
off a slice.
Some fool brings those Hawaiian sweet rolls, and it's just like, well, we've got sandwiches.
Wait, who was that fool? I'm the one who bought it. You're calling me the fool.
You didn't buy this. It was always like somebody in your family would bring over like a bunch of these sweet rolls.
No,
Edison got hot on the Hawaiian, the King's Hawaiian rolls.
He burned himself out.
Decimates those things.
Oh, and he'll eat a whole tray of them.
But those were like the best for mm-hmm. next day sandwiches.
And the tantalizing mustard.
You have to have the mustard. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how well this is playing with people around the country. Is Honey Baked a nationwide chain? I actually don't know this.
This is a good question.
I really don't. Honey Baked is a brand. Like, we're throwing it around there like, a Honey Baked ham. Honey Baked ham is a thing.
Is
but
it
we're talking about a
late?
Brand.
Is it too late to get a turducken, though?
Probably. I think if you bought a turducken now, you have to specifically pay John Madden to deliver it to the house. And then he will make you play Madden football on whatever console you have.
Well.
So, I mean, just be ready for that. And he doesn't believe in COVID. So he doesn't even wear a mask.
So no turducken. Okay. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Everything I said about John Madden... Totally fabricated. I have no idea what he does. So nobody at me about John Madden.
Did you actually think that people were going to believe you that John Madden
allegedly?
Was show
can
up.
I say allegedly? That's the podcaster. You got to say allegedly before you do anything like that gets you sued. So John Madden, don't at me on the Twitter.
So what are your sides, though? What are you?
Like
Thanksgiving sides. Like all of them.
What do you mean?
Like the stuffing.
You got
mashed potatoes.
I would be remiss if any of the following sides were missing. The stuffing. the mashed potatoes, the green bean casserole. Mm-hmm. I would argue that a roll is a side. You have to have at least a roll.
Okay.
And that's the sides for me. Like,
perfect.
I don't believe that cranberry sauce is a side.
But you like the jellied stuff.
It's a condiment.
Okay.
And I like the bad canned cranberry sauce.
Okay.
Makes it
easier.
I know, but you never do it.
I buy the can never, and nobody remembers.
And it sits on the counter, and it's just like the saddest thing, because then it never gets consumed. No one's ever going to be like, hey, it's May.
Fresh cranberry sauce, though.
No, you literally make fresh cranberry sauce, and you're like, I feel like I'm working too hard for this. What was I supposed to be doing? Oh, why did I buy cranberries and also canned cranberry sauce? Why did I do that? Anyway, well, that is our little... We didn't plan for
actually,
that.
Actually, I want to know what everybody's having for Thanksgiving. You can at me, bro.
You're not on Twitter. You're not on Twitter.
You can at me on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. But like, you aren't on Twitter, are you? You've never had a Twitter.
No, I've had a Twitter.
Yeah? How'd that go?
I tweeted. I'm pretty sure I have one for my mom blog. It just retweets everything that I post.
Oh, that's not like a Twitter, though. That's like a... You're just aggregating.
A Twitter's just for arguing with people on the internet.
Yeah, you got it.
I've got enough platforms for that, I think.
I'm good. All right. Well, everybody have a safe... an enjoyable Thanksgiving.
Yes.
This weekend is the ARRL sweepstakes. So I hope you check that out. It is a little, you could be a little apprehensive when you see it for the first time with the exchanges, but it's actually a really good contest. It's fun. And then, of course, enjoy your ham radio over Thanksgiving. I think there's going to be a lot of time to do that while everybody's walled up at home.
Is there going to be
not
sports?
Dealing with their family. I don't know.
Isn't that like a thing? We're so not a sports family.
No.
So it's like, is there still football? Is that something that's been canceled by COVID or?
I don't know. Yes. Well, let's go with yes.
If it's canceled, definitely go and play ham radio.
Yeah. Or do it at the same time.
Sure.
Have a TV next to your radio and do the whole thing.
All right.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That will do it for us this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, check us out on the iTunes. Give us that 5 stars. Leave a comment. If you want to, you can email Leah@hamtactical.com. Also, hamtactical on Instagram. And you can treat that like her Twitter.
Yeah.
So at her over there. All right. That'll do it for us. Everybody take it easy. 73.
73.